This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, as well as a premium Erotica Taboo Podcast, which contains more intense sexual themes. You can access the Taboo Podcast on Spotify or support the other free Erotica podcasts on Patreon, which will allow us to continue providing free content, as well as this gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choice. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction, with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Dungeon Builder's Harem Book 01 Part 4 Chapter 22 Yusuku opened the door to the cell for me. Halia sprang up from her bed like a wary animal, her braided, black hair flowing behind her like an animal tail. She stared at me with wary fear in her eyes that made me wince that I wasn't a monster. How to show her that?
Just bringing you dinner,
I said, holding up one of the wooden bowls in my hand. The stew in there steamed.
Lana cooked it, so it's pretty decent.
Halia stared at it as I held it out for her. Behind me, Yusuku dragged in a chair and then left, closing the door, leaving me alone with Halia. The warrior stared at the food then the door. She looked hesitant. She wore the clothes we'd given her. It wasn't the sexy garb of a badass warrior chick, but a pair of tight-fitting, leather pants and a low-cut blouse. She took the bowl from me and retreated to her bed. She sat down on it cross-legged. I grinned at her and sank down on the chair. It was wood and hard beneath my ass. This world didn't believe much in padding. I suppose if you never had it, you got used to being without it. I spooned up some of the stew with the pewter utensil. The dried meat had softened in the stew and picked up the flavors of the spices. I chewed on it, groaning. It was rather good compared to some of the food.
What do you want from me?
Halia asked after she had taken a few bites of the stew. She stared at me with her intense, blue eyes.
I want to convince you I'm not evil, I said. I don't want adventurers attacking me all the time. Because you know that will kill you, she hissed. Because I don't want to kill you.
I stirred my stew around.
You know, people deserve to live. I'm not harming you, so why are you harming me? Because this dungeon is a festering rot on this world,
she said, heat in her voice.
You are bleeding out the very lifeblood of this world and making abominations with it.
Abominations? I asked.
My wool wisps and wild hounds are not abominations. They're cute monster girls. Dangerous fiends that will spill out of here to assert your authority. You'll be demanding trade.
Tariffs.
You dungeon builders always do.
Always? I asked. I took a bite of my stew.
There's never been one who didn't pose a threat?
She stared hard at me.
Never.
Because they attacked you first, or they were just minding their business when adventurers started breaking into their domain to kill them and loot their strongholds.
We have every right to defend ourselves.
She glared daggers at me.
You are attacking my village!
I have never attacked Astavin, I growled. I have never done anything to anyone in this world, and yet adventurers have found my dungeon and attacked me.
Like you? Why did you and your companions march into my dungeon?
To defend Astavin. You said it's under attack by oozes and satyrs.
Did you see any of those here?
That's... She frowned.
That's not the point. You are a threat. You'll enslave Astavin if you're not stopped.
You don't know that.
You can't possibly know what I'm going to do. You're judging me on crimes I haven't committed. Have no plans on committing.
You will. At first you said that you're doing it to defend Astavin from a current threat. I said.
To justify attacking me. But now it's a preemptive attack because I might attack you. That's moving the goalposts.
What?
Where you keep changing your goals when you don't like the information you're getting. It's something people do to justify their actions as righteous even when they're being proved to be the opposite. You attacked a peaceful community. My monster girls have never raided Astavin. I've been to your village with Lana. Where do you think I bought the meat in the stew you're eating?
She stared down at it in shock.
I heard about the dungeon builder that's causing problems.
My jaw set.
He's giving my kind a bad name. He acts just as arrogantly as you adventurers.
Arrogant? She gasped.
Do not compare me to a dungeon builder. I'm nothing like them. Oh, you didn't break into my home for the express purpose of harming me?
I asked.
You came here to do violence even after I disabled all my defenses, held back my monster girls, and tried to talk to you. Would you even parley with me?
No, you just attacked. You attempted to enforce your will on me with violence.
Just like that dungeon builder, I'm nothing like you filthy dungeon builders.
She snarled and threw the bowl at me. It hit my chest and splashed stew across my robe. I felt it soaking me. The bowl fell to the ground and clattered there. She bolted to her feet, staring at me, her arms shaking with rage. I stood up to face her, not wanting to show weakness.
Are you certain you're not like a dungeon builder? You use violence to get what you want. You have no regard for another's land, but trespass to take what you desire by force. You attack the innocent and think you're justified. That you have the right to do it.
I wiped stew off the front of my robe.
I'll have Yusuku bring you another bowl. I'm not hungry.
She hissed and whirled away from me.
She laid down on her bed with her back to me.
Okay, I said. Sulk like a child.
Child? She glared at me. I looked down at the bowl.
You didn't just throw a fit because you didn't like the truth?
I shrugged.
Seems like a child to me.
I turned for the door when she snarled.
Why are you holding me? Is this a sick game? Are you torturing me?
I'm holding you because I hope to convince you I'm not evil. You're a prisoner because you attacked my home. I think that deserves some amount of punishment.
It's what happens to criminals.
I'm not a criminal.
Breaking and entering.
Assault. Attempted murder. I reached the door.
Yusuku opened it.
I looked over my shoulder at her.
Seems pretty criminal to me.
She screeched at me as I stepped through the door. Yusuku closed it behind me. She stared at my robe and what was dripping off of it.
I don't think you are very good at this, Lord Leo.
Yeah, you're right. I said and winced and rubbed at where the bowl hit me.
That hurt.
She throws hard.
She's a warrior. You're lucky she didn't try to strangle you. I have my magic.
I smiled at her.
And you were watching my back.
That brought a smile to my Fomorian. She glanced down at the bars in the cell. I looked also. Halia was lying on her bed staring at the ceiling. She had her arms folded before her. She was muttering.
I shook her up.
I said.
She sees herself as righteous. That she has every right to attack me. From what I've seen of other dungeon builders, she may have a point.
I sighed.
We have to change that, or we'll never have any peace. We'll never figure out why I was brought here. What possible reason I was given this power? It couldn't just be so I could be an asshole sending my monster girls to attack peaceful towns, or so that adventurers could break into my domain and kill me.
Unless you're the whetstone. I frowned at Yusuku.
You know, what you sharpen a sword with. Someone's honing adventurers on dungeon builders.
Weeding out the bad ones, improving the good ones.
They move from dungeon to dungeon, fighting the ones who have been growing stronger and stronger.
Yeah, but it sounds like this has been going on for hundreds of years.
If not longer.
Yusuku shrugged again.
It feels like it's over my pay grade.
Yeah. It does feel that way. I headed to finish my supper with the others. Garnet laughed, of course, at my stained robes. Lana just shook her head and helped me out of the stained clothes. There had to be a way to reach through to Halia. She would prove useful. I stirred my spoon around in my bowl.
Thinking.
How could I get her on my side? I would have to show her my intentions. Prove to her that I wasn't a threat. There was one way I could do that. One way I could show her the truth of my actions.
We should go to Astavin tomorrow.
I said. We're running low on food again.
Ooh, road trip.
Garnet said, her wings fluttering.
I need a new outfit. I'm thinking leather straps that cross my torso and just hide my nipples.
And a thong.
I need a thong to wear. Then I can go sauntering around looking all sexy but not showing off all the goods, big bro.
My succubus grinned at me.
Doesn't that sound hot?
Straps? Lana asked, arching her eyebrow.
That sounds like the most impractical garb in the world. It would be so hot.
Garnet leaned back, her crimson eyes flashing bright.
Quay, I would look like a sexy villainess in an anime.
Ooh, yes, yes, just wearing next to nothing and then threatening everyone.
We're not villains.
I growled. Garnet flinched. Her wings drooped.
I was just having fun.
She muttered.
I didn't mean I would be a villainess.
I sighed. I took my succubus's hand.
Sorry. I'm just annoyed. I don't want these adventurers attacking my dungeon. But the word's gotten out. There'll be more coming all the time. It won't ever stop, will it?
Not unless I can show Astavin and the adventurers that I'm not a threat to them.
Any ideas?
My little sister asked.
Yeah, a few.
I said.
All dangerous.
Chapter 23. Halia looked more than a little skeptical when we returned her armor to her the next day.
What is this?
She demanded.
Are you going to take me to some arena and make me fight for your amusement? Why would I do that?
I asked, staring at her in shock.
Do you think I'm into blood sports or something? Then why are you arming me?
Because I'm setting you free. I said.
We're taking you to Astavin and releasing you.
Her brow furrowed.
Just like that, you're letting me go? After you went through the effort of capturing me? Your plan was to hold me for a few days and then...
She stared at me suspiciously.
What are you up to? Keeping you locked up is never going to prove that I don't want to hurt you or others. So I need to prove it. I need to demonstrate that I can be trusted. What better way to do that than to let you go? So, get dressed, we're leaving soon.
I was wearing different clothes from my obvious wizard robes. Just a pair of wool pants and a hemp shirt. The same sort of garb I saw the local farmers wearing. No armor. No weapons. Lana and Garnet were both wrapped up in dresses and cloaks to try and hide them. Garnet was easier. We undid her pigtails and her horns were hardly noticeable peeking out of her red hair. Her wings were folded up beneath her clothing. She hadn't been happy.
It's too much clothing, big bro.
She had said.
How are they supposed to fall in love with my beauty and then become insanely jealous when they realize only you get to touch me?
Halia donned her armor. When she was ready, I opened the door for her. I wore her blessed sword on my waist. She stared at that, eyeing it with hunger. I shook my head. If she tried to grab it, Lana and Garnet would make short work of her.
Yusuku, you have command.
I told her.
Keep my monster girls safe. And the void crystal?
She asked, amusement on her lips.
That is a tad important, isn't it?
I asked, smiling.
just a tiny bit. She smiled at me and then kissed me with passion on the lips that I groaned into it, wanting to just do things with her. My cock was aching, but I broke it and forced myself to do the responsible stuff. I had to win Halya to my cause. If I could get her at least focusing her attention, and those of other adventurers, on attacking the bad dungeon builders, then at least I could buy myself some breathing room to figure things out. So I didn't have to be the cause of any more deaths than I had to be. We escorted Halya through the dungeon. She walked in front of us. She kept glancing over her shoulder at us, her braid swinging down her back. She wore her bikini breastplate and steel panties. The metal enticingly molded to her rump. She was a gorgeous woman. Fit and strong, but curvy and feminine in all the right ways. Shame she thought I was an evil monster that had to die. We moved through the traps, all disabled. Then into the labyrinth. My monster girls appeared from their posts. They all beamed at me in delight. None of them seemed to mind the endless waiting in their own sections. "Good luck, Lord Leo," said Svisos, the first will-o-wisp-eyed maid. She leaned against the wall, her large breasts rising and falling. I loved the way her body glowed, the various hues of incandescent gas that made her form swirling about her in ever-changing patterns of delight. "Be safe, Lord Leo," a wildhound said. Marwo darted up to me and hugged me. She licked my cheek, rubbing her petite body on mine. "Come back."
"I will,"
I said. "We're just buying supplies and returning Halya to her people."
"Sure,"
Halya muttered. She didn't believe me. Well, actions spoke louder than words. It was time to prove that. We fetched our donkey and its cart. I kept it in a side cave that was part of my domain but separate from the dungeon proper. The donkey had a small pasture to graze and seemed healthy, even if his coat was a little shaggy and wild. We hooked him up and guided him down the trail towards the village. The walk was pleasant. Halya trooped before us, looking around like she expected the attack to come at any moment. She kept glancing at me, her eyes falling on my sword. I knew she was contemplating stealing it.
"She's going to betray us to the village,"
Lana said as we entered the farmland.
"Probably,"
I said. Several of the farms looked abandoned, their fields overrun with weeds. That was different. At other farms, there were people holding crossbows in sight. They watched us with suspicious eyes until they noticed Halya. Then they waved at her.
"You're popular,"
I said.
"My father was a famous adventurer,"
she said.
"He slew several dungeon builders, including Argian the White, a foul user of light magic who had vaporized several villages before he was stopped."
I gaped at that.
"Why would he vaporize them?"
She looked back at me.
"Because he could."
My stomach sank. What was it about dungeon builders that led them to do the things they did? Mthunzi attacked me to get stronger. He wanted to have a second glyph and to harness my void crystal. Why? Because he was afraid? Dungeon builders had enemies that attacked us from all sides. The adventurers who thought we were evil and the others like us who wanted our crystals. Fujin had come to talk to me, but he felt strong. Like he was way above me and had nothing to fear from me. But others, they stared down a path that led them to make some bad decisions. Those that cost lives. It was almost like a trap. To get stronger to survive, they had to do evil acts. And that proved they were evil, driving the adventurers to try even harder to kill them. That forced the dungeon builder to do more dark deeds. They corrupted them.
"Ardian the White,"
I muttered.
"Did the villages defy him? Does that make him justified?"
Halya asked with a sneer.
"Absolutely not."
The words came out harsh.
"I'm just trying to understand. He tried to control them, right? To have an area of the world where he didn't have to worry about adventurers. He thought he had to use force to bully everyone. And he went way, way too far."
Halya shook her head.
"You make it sound like he wasn't a monster. An evil thing that just delighted in cruelty and suffering. Because he was just a person,"
I said.
"Like you?
Like me.
Or Garnet. She's a succubus,"
Halya said, sneering.
"Rude,"
Garnet hissed.
"I'm a cute, adorable, and sexy succubus forced to wear this baggy, ugly dress by my uncaring brother. She's a person,"
I said, giving my succubus a hard look. "She just can be a brat sometimes."
"Yep,"
she grinned at me.
"That's why you love me, big bro."
Lana laughed, a rich and delightful sound. Halya just marched ahead, bristling.
"When we get back to your village, I'm going to return your sword,"
I told her.
"We're just here to buy some food. Not to hurt your people. She is totally going to betray us,"
Garnet said. She glanced at me, worry on her face.
"No, she's not,"
I said.
"She's a good person. She's a mean person,"
Garnet then muttered.
"Not recognizing that I'm cute and adorable."
The village came into view, a collection of buildings, smoke rising from several chimneys. The villagers were moving about. There were more men with crossbows around the perimeter. They were worried. This other dungeon builder had been causing problems. Asshole.
"Lord Leo,"
Sisko sent to me. My newest monster girl sounded agitated.
"They're coming for the village. The oozes and satyrs."
"Shit," I muttered. I had positioned Sisko between the village and the enemy dungeon. She was hidden in bushes, my eyes.
"From which direction will they attack the village?"
"South.
They are moving along the river. There's a dozen of them."
"Halya," I said, unbuckling the sword belt from around my waist. She whirled around.
"What now?"
I tossed her the magical weapon. She caught it by the scabbard, looking more than a little stunned. She pulled out the weapon and saw the blade. Something crossed her face,
a powerful and profound emotion.
Come on, I said, spotting the river that ran by the village.
They're coming fast.
What?
She asked, her eyes hardening.
The enemy. I pointed at the river. They're coming from that way.
Then I sent.
How close are they?
Close, Sisko answered.
They'll be on the village soon. Lana, Garnet, get ready.
I said and charged towards the river, breaking into a run. I glanced behind me and saw Halia, gripping her scabbard, running after us. This was a chance to show her that we weren't all bad. I couldn't believe this other guy was raiding a defenseless village. That was fucked up. From the way Halia made it sound, he was kidnapping women. I didn't want to think about what he was doing with them. As we ran down the path, there was a group of women doing laundry by the river. They were using the water to wash their clothes, soap suds floating away on the current from where they worked with skirts tied up around their knees. They scrubbed garments on washboards and dunked them in the river before shaking them out. Beyond them, the water rippled. And then out of the water oozed a gelatinous woman. All blue, she lunged at the nearest washerwoman. Large breasts heaved before the ooze. Her darker blue hair had a plastic look about it, like the hair on an action figure. Sculpted to resemble it, but not made of individual strands. The woman screamed and threw her wet laundry at the ooze. It struck the monster girl's breasts and slid down her body. Her hair rippled, then grew into tentacles that lunged at the woman and grabbed her before she could dart away. On the shore, the men with crossbows watching over them cursed. They fumbled to aim. One got off a shot that struck an ooze. The bolt embedded in her breast, but then it just oozed out of her. She didn't even seem to mind. She just sent her hair tentacles at another fleeing woman. Out of the woods behind, the men charged the sadder monster girls. They were another group of busted women who had pale skin and steel gray hair with curling horns out of them. Their feet looked hoofed, but the rest of them was all women. Several of them had what I thought were cocks, but quickly realized were dildos thrusting from their crotches. The lead satyr slammed her horn into the back of a guy working his crossbow. He fell to the ground and spasmed. The others turned, struggling to aim weapons before they were charged and gored. In the water, the women screamed as the tentacles seized them.
No!
I shouted, running as fast as I could. Lightning cracked behind me. I heard Lana's wings flapping. She had burst out of her clothing. Then the hum of Halia's blessed sword, the enchanted blade eager for the fight. Anger rippled through me. This was why I was attacked. Because the other dungeon builders thought they could do whatever they wanted. This man who sent these monster girls was from my world. He probably thought there were no rules here for him to follow. That he could do whatever he wanted. And now he was stealing women?
Pig! Stop!
I roared as I neared the river on the opposite side. The oozes ignored me. The satyrs chased off the defenders. The men fled back to the village, some stumbling after being gored. Others lay on the ground bleeding out. I gathered my magic, the words for the spell forming on my lips.
Spark of lightning, crackle of electricity, let the wrath of Lord and Lil explode.
The crackle of lightning shot from me and struck the first monster girl. Her gelatinous body couldn't withstand the fury of my spell. Lightning sizzled over her flesh. She melted like a marshmallow in the microwave and spread out across the river. The woman she held burst free and splashed through the water to safety.
Get them!
I shouted and chose my next target. Chapter 24. Halia stared in shock at the dungeon builder. Leo had killed the monster girl grabbing the woman. She splashed to safety. Others were in danger. He was risking his own life against another dungeon builder's forces to protect. It didn't make any sense to her, but the women were in danger. So she had no time to think. Halia roared and leaped into the river. The water splashed around her. It wasn't deep here, coming up to her waist. She sloshed through it as another lightning spear, cast by Leo, slammed into an ooze. She melted away, too, freeing her victim. The other gelatinous monster girls had noticed the attack and dove beneath the water. Halia froze. Overhead, Garnet and Lana soared while the adventurer shifted, the river stones wet beneath her feet. She stared at the water, looking for the ooze's movement. There were still four of those nasty things to cause problems. This was a bad place to be. The washerwomen were escaping only to be stopped by the satyrs who had turned from chasing the men. Halia moved across the water slowly towards them, tense for the attack. The oozes had all but blended in with the water. She felt like she was surrounded by them. They were moving in for the kill. She held her sword up, poised to strike at them. The water on her right looked strange. Too thick. She thrust her blade down. The thickness darted away, vanishing from her sight. Halia swallowed. This was a mistake being in here. She had rushed wading into the river to help the other women. A tentacle lashed about her foot. She gasped as it yanked hard. She vanished underwater. Garnet soared over the river. Her owner had killed two of the oozes, but there were still the satyrs to deal with. And they had dildos. That was so interesting. It made Garnet's naughty pussy just tingle at the possibilities. The satyrs whirled around, abandoning their chase of the men. They had big boobs, and though their hair was gray, it wasn't from old age. They had youthful bodies, lean and delicious. A tingle rippled through Garnet, the succubus's tail swishing behind her. She was so glad to be out of those ugly, baggy clothes and into wearing something proper. She hummed her delight as she swooped down, forming a whip out of shadows in her hand. She wasn't like Yusuku, who could make weapons. Garnet could only make sex toys. Whips were kinky bondage gear, not weapons to her. But she could still have fun with one. She landed down behind a satyr racing towards the women escaping the oozes. Garnet whipped her arm, the narrow lash of shadow swiping out and wrapping around the satyr's leg right above where it turned into a goat's. Garnet yanked. The satyr bayed like a shocked goat as she pitched face first into the grass growing above the sandy bank. Humming happily, Garnet started pulling back on the leash, dragging the satyr to her. The monster girl thrashed, staring with such anger at her while the dildo thrust out from her pussy.
"Is that a two-headed dildo?"
the wicked succubus asked. Her red, bat-like wings fluttered behind her, and her tail swished back and forth. She was having so much fun.
"Because that's hot. Did you make that yourself?"
"What?" the satyr asked, sounding absolutely shocked.
"The dildo,"
Garnet said, her wings flapping faster.
"Did you make it yourself? It's super neat. It makes me so excited."
"Huh? Did you?" The monster girl stared at Garnet like she was crazy.
"Who is your master? Why are you attacking us?"
"Because you're being real cunts." Garnet struck a dramatic pose.
"Quay, heh heh. My master is the sexy and strong Lord Leo. He has come to punish you for attacking those poor women. You should be seducing them, not molesting them. It's wrong. But don't worry, he shall punish."
The satyr took advantage of Garnet's speech to bolt to her feet and charge at the succubus, horns lowered to gore the girl. Garnet gasped at just how rude that gesture was.
"I was monologuing,"
she hissed as those sharp horns hurtled at her. Lana Fullman soared with Garnet across the battlefield. She stared down at the satyrs. Annoyance shot through the movie starlet. She had seen such predator behavior before. Producers in Hollywood thought they could do what they wanted with young women just like this despicable dungeon builder. "You're not getting away with it. My number one fan will stop you, and Lana would help." Garnet broke off to go after one satyr. She wasn't as combat-focused as Lana Fullman. The lightning sprite's wings crackled with lightning. She fired a bolt down at one of the satyrs. The sizzling lightning struck the monster girl in the face. Sparks flared. The satyr flew back and hit the ground, spasming. Smoke rose from her face, a blackened wound appearing where the bolt struck. Two of the fleeing women took advantage to leap over the dead or stunned monster girl and flee for the village. Several of the men had rallied and covered them with crossbow bolts while alarms rang from Astavin itself.
"You're not getting any girls!"
Lana Fullman shouted at the enemy monster girls. She hardly noticed Halea vanishing beneath the waves. The lightning sprite focused on a satyr driving back the wet women, corralling them to be captured again. The movie starlet's anger flared. Lightning crackled between the golden strands of her hair. Her wings, formed out of electricity, flared with white-hot plasma. A bolt sizzled down and struck the satyr in the back. She sprawled forward, kicking and spasming. Lana smiled her triumph as she soared out over the river. Lana Fullman soared with Garnet across the battlefield. She stared down at the satyrs. Annoyance shot through the movie starlet. She had seen such predator behavior before. Producers in Hollywood thought they could do what they wanted with young women just like this despicable dungeon builder. "You're not getting away with it. My number one fan will stop you, and Lana would help." Garnet broke off to go after one satyr. She wasn't as combat-focused as Lana Fullman. The lightning sprite's wings crackled with lightning. She fired a bolt down at one of the satyrs. The sizzling lightning struck the monster girl in the face. Sparks flared. The satyr flew back and hit the ground, spasming. Smoke rose from her face, a blackened wound appearing where the bolt struck. Two of the fleeing women took advantage to leap over the dead or stun monster girl and flee for the village. Several of the men had rallied and covered them with crossbow bolts while alarms rang from Astavin itself.
"You're not getting any girls!"
Lana Fullman shouted at the enemy monster girls. She hardly noticed Halea vanishing beneath the waves. The lightning sprite focused on a satyr driving back the wet women, corralling them to be captured again. The movie starlet's anger flared. Lightning crackled between the golden strands of her hair. Her wings, formed out of electricity, flared with white-hot plasma. A bolt sizzled down and struck the satyr in the back. She sprawled forward, kicking and spasming. Lana smiled her triumph as she soared out over the river. Fighting against breathing, her lungs burning, Halea kicked again. She was the daughter of Anguin, the great hero who slew Ardian the White and Thunderhammer Gludhug. She would not die this way. She would slay her enemies. She kicked a rock with her foot, spilling up mud in the process. The current caught it, carrying it away. It spilled over the monster girl. Halea thrust with her blessed blade. The weapon hummed through the water. It struck that thicker patch, sinking into gel. The tentacles about her body twitched and then tightened. They squeezed about her, compressing her legs and stomach. Pain flared. Bubbles burst from Halia's mouth. She thrashed in the embrace. Trapped. But she wouldn't let herself die here. She would escape. She slashed her father's enchanted blade through the water. She cut through the ooze's tentacle. She felt that moment of slicing contact. Then it writhed and contracted. The tentacles holding her melted away. Freed, she burst up to the surface and sucked in air. Lana Fullman stared at the ooze rising out of the water. One of the creature's hair tentacles ended in a ragged tear. She hissed and sent the others at the movie starlet. The lightning sprite struggled to move, but her mind still felt fuzzed by the impact. Lightning crackled. A bolt struck the ooze from behind. The monster girl's back arched. Then her body melted. Those big boobs dissolved into sludge that spilled onto the bank, the blue oozing across the ground. Leo stood on the other side of the river. He looked so strong and bold. Lana smiled at him. Halea burst out of the water nearby. She raised her sword defensively, but Lana had eyes only for her owner. The man who had brought her to this world and given her a new purpose, a new life that was so freeing and exciting. The sex. The fighting. Her new form. It was all so enticing. She shuddered as she rose, so happy to be his. He pointed his hand and another bolt of lightning arched across the river and struck a satyr in the ass. She pitched over, spilling out her woman. Leo grinned, looking proud of himself for saving those women. The tentacles burst out of the water and wrapped about him in a flash. One squeezed about his neck, choking off his shout. Then he was yanked forward and crashed into the river, vanishing beneath the washing waves. Leo! Screamed Lana and threw herself at the water. The tentacle gripped my throat. It was wrapped tight about my neck, choking off my air. I thrashed as I twisted along the river bottom. The ooze had me. I could just see her face before me, translucent and dark. She had a look of anger in her eyes that I had killed her fellow oozes. Their souls would return to their owner's void crystal to be reborn to serve at his whim. That didn't change that she hated me for it. She was choking me underwater. I thrashed, unable to speak the words of magic. Unable to fight back with magic that I had strengthened my body. I grabbed her tentacles. My fingers squeezed about them. They were gelatinous, but they compressed. I squeezed them tight. She just squeezed tighter about my throat. Not even bubbles escaped my lips. My heart hammered. Black spots appeared about my vision. A lethargy descended on me. My thoughts grew sluggish as my lungs burned. Something shone bright above. I reached up for it. So pretty. My body relaxed as it just grew easier to surrender. Why fight? Everything was slipping away. The world shrinking to pinpricks. A humming sound pierced the water. It buzzed louder. A scream echoed through the water. The tentacles around me thrashed and convulsed. They released my throat. I didn't care. It was so peaceful. The darkness slid over me. What are you doing? Halia demanded as she yanked her sword out of the dying ooze. She thrust her left hand into the water and grabbed the front of Leo's robe. She hauled him out of the river. He sputtered for breath, his eyes fluttering beneath his lids. His body kicked as she dragged him to the shore. He's the enemy. Let him drown, she pushed him onto the shore, his head and shoulders. He shuddered, his body twitching. Lana landed, the lightning sprite grabbing him by the shoulders and dragging him the rest of the way out of the water. Duck! She gasped, lightning crackling over her wings. Halia did, falling to her knees in the water. It rose to her neck. The lightning bolt sizzled over the warrior's head and struck something. A wet sizzle and then splashes. She turned around to see a melting ooze, the last one, vanishing into the river. The current washed her away. Thanks, Halia said, her voice tight. You're welcome, Lana said. I mean, you did save Leo. Thank you for that. Halia nodded. She didn't understand it. If he had died, it would be one less dungeon builder to threaten the world. And yet he had fought to protect the women. They had all escaped now, being escorted back by the men. A few had even grabbed the wounded men, dragging them to get help. One of the satyrs stumbled blind on the other side of the river until she was feathered with crossbow bolts. The other lay beneath the wildhound. She vanished into the brush. Moans came from the last. Halia blinked at what the succubus was up to. Thanks, croaked Leo. You saved me. We all make mistakes. Halia muttered that he burst into laughter like that was the funniest thing he had ever heard. She frowned at him as she stood up on unsteady legs. He looked out at the river, seeing that they had won. They had driven back the other dungeon builder's minions.
Why did you do it?
She asked him.
Are you thinking of conquering Astavin? Is this just you defending what you think is yours?
Fuck no, he said. He nodded across the river to the villagers.
It was protecting them. Those helpless women. That cocksucker sent his monster girls to kidnap them. That's not right. Not fucking right at all.
Halia believed him. She didn't know what to make of this evil man. He didn't act like any of the dungeon builders she had ever heard of. But he had power. He had two glyphs, which meant he had killed another dungeon builder. The Dark One, she guessed, who had started operating in this area until he'd gone silent.
What do you plan to do next?
Halia asked him.
That's a very good question. He said then frowned. What is Garnet doing?
Chapter 25. The satyr charged at Garnet. The rest of the battle was going on in the background to the naughty succubus. She wasn't a fighter, but a lover. So she had to think fast to deal with that set of deadly horns rushing at her. Luckily, Garnet had wings. With a hard flap of them, she leaped into the air and soared over the satyr charging at her seeking to do grievous, bodily harm to her. As she soared over the enemy monster girl, Garnet yanked hard on her shadow whip. The other end was still wrapped around the leg of the satyr. The poor goat girl was yanked up short. She pitched forward and crashed on her hands and knees on the soft grass. The dildo thrusting out of the thick bush adorning her pussy.
That's not nice,
Garnet said as she advanced on the satyr.
We don't have to be enemies. We can be friends. Friends,
the satyr sneered. She gained her hooves, whirled around, and came face to face with the adorable succubus.
Yes, friends,
Garnet said, grabbing the satyr's face.
Friends with benefits.
She kissed the satyr with hungry lips. Shadows flowed from the succubus into the enemy monster girl. The satyr shuddered. Garnet could feel the horny lust in the monster girl. Any lady who ran around with a dildo in her cunt was a horny being. Satyrs were practically synonymous with sex. Garnet remembered reading that in some boring textbook back in the real world. Now she would get first-hand experience.
her tongue thrust into the satyr's mouth while her hands cupped those big boobs. She squeezed them. Kneaded them. They were so delightful. Her tail swished back and forth, her pussy getting hotter and hotter. The rest of the battle raged. Lightning crackled. The air sizzled. All those sounds all faded from Garnet. She had a monster girl to play with. This was how she helped. She dug her fingers into those big boobs, loving how soft they were. Oh, Leo, you need to get life magic. These tits are so awesome. Ooh, I love them, she needed them. Her fingers dug into those wonderful breasts as she swirled her tongue around in the monster girl's mouth. The satyr whimpered. Then she grabbed Garnet's hips, pulling her tight. The end of the wooden dildo pressed into Garnet's belly, all polished and smooth, that excited the naughty Garnet. She wanted that dildo in her. Leo's cock was the best, of course, but he was off doing other things. Important things. So she only had this sexy satyr to play with. Garnet broke the kiss. Her eyes sparkled. Ooh, you got such hot boobs, don't you? The satyr nodded. I bet we can do such wicked things together, can't we? Just get wild. Her eyes sparkled. How does that sound? The satyr bit her lower lip. I'm supposed to be bringing women to Lord Jindag. Well, I'm a woman. Garnet giggled. Mostly. You should find out if I'm good enough to be taken. You know, do things to me. Delight sparkled in the satyr's golden eyes. I can do that. Good. Quay, heh heh, we're going to have fun. Garnet ducked her head down and sucked a fat, pink nipple into her mouth. She nursed on it, her cunt tightening. The satyr bawled, this throaty sound of delight. Then her milk squirted into Garnet's mouth. The succubus was shocked by the breast milk flooding out of the fat nipple. She shuddered and then drank it down. She swallowed those creamy delights. It was amazing to taste. Her hips wiggled back and forth as she savored the creamy treat splashing against the back of her throat. She gulped it down and suckled more. The hot stream splashed against the roof of her mouth while the satyr moaned and bawled her delight. Oh, you have such a naughty mouth, succubus. Groaned the satyr. And you have such yummy breast milk. Thought Garnet. Big bro, you need to get life magic so you can make satyrs. They're hot. Lactation. The naughty succubus suckled hard on the breast. She drank down the milk. It was incredible to enjoy. She groaned, her eyes squeezing shut tightly. Her pussy clenched. She wiggled her hips from side to side, her tail dancing. Every gulp of the creamy delight heated her cunt. The succubus wanted to have that dildo in her cunt, but she also wanted to keep suckling. To keep drinking all that yummy milk the satyr possessed. She would gulp it all down. It was delicious. Her pussy clenched, her body on fire. She swallowed one more mouthful of the breast milk and then ripped her mouth off. She had to stop. If she didn't, she never would. She would keep drinking the breast milk down. That's so yummy. She moaned. But it's making my pussy so wet. I can deal with that. The satyr moaned. Yes, yes, you just have to fuck. Garnet's words cut off as the satyr instead fell to her knees and pressed her gorgeous face between Garnet's thighs. The naughty succubus gasped. Her tail swished behind her as the satyr licked at her shaved pussy. Ooh, that's something you can do, too. Ooh, eat my cunt. The satyr's tongue fluttered through the succubus's twat. Garnet's leathery wings fluttered. Her loose fall of black hair danced around her shoulders. She groaned at how good it was. How amazing to have the satyr lapping at her juicy pussy. The pleasure rushed through the naughty succubus. She whimpered, her black hair dancing loose as she ground her twat on the satyr's licking mouth. The naughty monster girl feasted on Garnet. Her tail slashed back and forth. Her moans echoed throughout the world. This was how to fight other monster girls. Garnet loved this so much. Dominate them. Get them horny. Then have them eat her pussy. She loved being a succubus. She was so glad her brother had brought her to this world and made her into a cute and adorable demonet. Ooh, yes, yes, you wicked satyr. Lick my twat. You love it. Good. Moaned the monster girl. So very good. It is. Said Garnet with such satisfaction. The pleasure rippled through her body. She built and built towards that explosive orgasm. She rose to it. She would drown the satyr in pussy cream. It would be such a treat. The satyr's tongue darted into Garnet's folds. Golden eyes stared up at her. They were so wicked. They burned with such passion. It made the wicked succubus come closer and closer to her first orgasm she would have from the satyr. But it wouldn't be her last. Her pussy clenched down on the probing tongue. She rose higher and higher to her burst of pleasure. She would have such a powerful climax. She couldn't wait for the pleasure to rush through her and drown her. It would be spectacular. Just a mighty explosion of rapture that would cascade over her. Yes, yes, yes. She moaned. Oh, you wicked satyr. You could have just eaten those girls' pussies. That would have been more funner than fighting us and... I'm going to come. You want that? Yes. The satyr groaned. Yeah, you want my yummy juices gushing into your mouth. Ooh, you're such a naughty thing. I love it. You know that? I love it so much. Ooh, I'm going to come, and come some more. How does that sound? The satyr fluttered her tongue and licked with such hunger. A shiver ran through the succubus. Her wings flapped harder. Her toes curled into the sand as her orgasm built and built. It was amazing. Such a treat to enjoy. She would explode. She would burst with pleasure. It would be outstanding. She shuddered, grinding her pussy on the satyr's mouth. The monster girl's tongue thrust so deep into Garnet. That did it. That set off the naughty succubus. Her red wings flapped hard.
She threw back her head and cried out in ecstasy. Pussy cream gushed out of her cunt.
Oh, yes, yes, gasped Garnet. I have vanquished you.
Waves of pleasure poured out of her pussy. Her tail swished back and forth as the rapture flooded her mind. As she drowned the satyr with her spicy pussy juices, she savored the bliss rippling out of her cunt. The satyr's tongue licked and lapped at Garnet's pussy, gathering up the juices. The stroking tongue sent more pleasure through her. It kept her trembling, her small boobs jiggling. A big smile crossed her lips as she floated on her ecstasy.
Quay he he,
she chortled.
I have defeated you. And now I shall take my reward.
What? The satyr moaned. Garnet grabbed both of the satyr's horns thrusting out of the mane of gray hair. She ripped the busted monster girl from her pussy. Cream gleamed on the satyr's lips and mouth. The monster girl panted, her golden eyes glassy with delight. Garnet fell to her knees, straddling the satyr. The succubus's naughty twat pressed right on the tip of the dildo thrusting out of the satyr's pussy. With naughty skill, Garnet impaled her cunt down the smooth shaft. It wasn't her brother's dick, but it still felt amazing in her. She groaned as she slid down it, her hands grabbing the satyr's big and soft tits. Pleasure rippled through her pussy, which still felt so sensitive from her climax moments ago.
Vanquished!
She gasped and worked her pussy up and down that dildo. Her cunt clenched to the polished shaft.
Ooh, you are vanquished, satyr!
I am? The satyr moaned. She fell backward onto the ground, lying stretched out. Her big boobs formed two jiggling piles.
That's right!
Garnet threw back her head, black hair flying. Her red wings thrust out wide.
For I, the sexy and adorable Garnet, sister and servant to the mighty Lord Leo Baldwin, have vanquished thy evilness and tamed you with my pussy. Quay he he.
She worked her cunt up and down that dildo faster, her thighs flexing. Her hands grabbed both of the satyr's boobs, squeezing and kneading them. Milk beaded on the pink nipples. The monster girl whimpered and moaned, her hoofed feet digging into the sand. Garnet's tail swished back and forth. She wiggled her hips, stirring her cunt around that delicious dildo inside of her. It was amazing to enjoy. Her twat squeezed about it, increasing the pleasure. The stimulation felt incredible inside of her twat. Her naughty cunt drank it in.
Ooh, yes, yes, how does it feel to be vanquished?
Garnet moaned, her fingers digging into the satyr's soft boobs. Milk squirted up into the air as the satyr groaned.
Amazing! Yes, yes, you're stirring up the dildo into my pussy! Good!
Garnet gasped and squeezed those big boobs again. The milk squirted up into the air, two streams of white. Garnet ducked her head down and opened her mouth wide. As she impaled herself down the dildo, she tried to drink the milk. It splashed over her lips and face. More landed on her small breasts and ran hot over her skin. She loved it. She squeezed again, delighting in the twin squirts of milk jetting up at her. She caught some in her mouth, the creamy treat melting over her taste buds. Her pussy grew hotter and hotter as she slammed her cunt down that naughty dildo.
Yes, yes, yes!
She moaned, squeezing her twat around the dildo.
Ooh, that's good. That's amazing.
It is!
The satyr moaned.
Ooh, ooh, that's so good.
I know!
Garnet shuddered. She squeezed again, milk splashing across her face. The white drops ran over her youthful cheeks.
I'm going to come again.
Me too.
When did you come the first time?
Garnet asked, her red wings flapping.
I mean.
Oh, never mind.
Just keep riding me.
That's so good.
I'm going to come.
Yes.
Garnet worked her cunt up and down the dildo, her juicy twat gripping it. Her wings flapped so hard. She loved this so much. She hurtled toward that amazing orgasm. It swelled in her, the friction of that naughty toy stimulating her pussy walls. Her head arched. Her small titties jiggled. The satyr moaned on the ground as Garnet impaled her pussy down the dildo again and again. She was so eager for it. So ready to have a huge orgasm. She would just detonate on this dildo.
Garnet, what are you doing?
Her big brother asked her.
I'm riding her dildo, big bro.
She moaned.
Oh yes, yes, I'm going to come so hard.
He stood near her, his clothing wet. Lana leaned against him, looking a little out of it, her lightning wings drooping. Halia stumbled up to him, dripping wet. She had gotten dunked. She held her sword in her hand.
Do you want to go next, Halia?
I asked.
This dildo is amazing. You can ride it while I blow my big brother.
Halia just shook her head in shock. Garnet laughed, a real one and not her fake villain one. She worked her pussy faster, her thighs flexing and her wings flapping. They propelled her up the dildo fast. Then she slammed back down hard. Her butt cheek smacked into the satyr's groin. The monster girl gasped. Garnet squeezed those big boobs again while her big brother watched on with amusement on his face. She grinned at that. She felt so happy right now. She hummed with delight, her orgasm swelling from the attention.
Look at me, come on her, big bro!
She moaned, her pussy growing molten.
I'm going to detonate.
Yes!
She slammed down the dildo, stirring it up in her cunt. And in the satyr's. The naughty monster girl bucked on the ground. Her boobs jiggled in Garnet's groping hands. The satyr's face contorted, her golden eyes squeezing shut.
She's coming!
The succubus moaned. She slammed her cunt down the dildo.
Oh yes, yes, she's coming!
Her wings flapped hard. She threw back her head and decided to do the same thing. She came so hard. The pleasure burst through her body. She whimpered and moaned as the rapture consumed her. It flooded through her body. It was excellent. Amazing. She loved every second of it. Her body shuddered through her bliss.
Burst after burst of pleasure exploded from her pussy and washed through her flesh. She whimpered and moaned, such delight rippling out of her cunt and washing over her mind.
So good, big bro,
she moaned.
It's so good.
I'm glad, he said, shaking his head. You can get off of her when you're done.
Right, right, I'm almost done.
Garnet swayed there, riding her orgasm to its peak, her small titties jiggling. She gave the satyr's boobs a big squeeze. More milk squirted into the air and splashed warm on her face and boobs. She loved it. Her orgasm died down to buzzing delight. Humming. She slid her pussy off the dildo and then threw herself at her brother. She pressed into his body, her nipples rubbing into his wet clothing. She peppered his face in kisses.
Oh, yes, yes,
the satyr moaned.
I? Wait, no.
Garnet broke from her brother and turned to see the satyr stand up. Her dildo bobbed before her, dripping in Garnet's cunt cream. The satyr's hoofs dug furrows in the sand like she prepared to charge. Sisko bounded up, the wild hound growling as she fell into a defensive crouch before Leo and Garnet.
I will dispatch her,
Halia said and stepped forward.
Wait,
Leo said and grabbed her wrist.
Run, satyr. Run and take warning to your master that this village is under my protection. I won't permit anyone to harm those who live here.
The satyr hesitated. She looked around the field. Then she turned and bounded into the brush.
You're letting her go?
Halia demanded, whirling on Leo.
Killing her won't change anything. Her master will just resummon her.
However, he didn't say anything but Sisko bounded after the satyr.
She's running back to her home.
Halia furrowed her brow.
You're going to.
The shouts of a growing mob cut off her words. Halia whirled to see more men from the village advancing with a host of makeshift weapons. Their collection of polearms, mauls, mattocks, scythes, wood axes, and daggers alone wouldn't be a threat to Garnet and her big brother, but 50 or 60 of them was a problem. Chapter 26. Nervousness washed over me. That was a lot of pissed off people.
Wait, wait, I just saved your women.
But they didn't hear me. They marched forward from the village. The last of the women who had almost been taken fled behind them. Lana leaned against me, recovering from her injuries. Her wings fluttered. Garnet planted hands on her hips and puffed out her cheeks.
How rude,
my little sister Succubus said.
We saved them.
Halia glanced at me.
You really are going to go after the other?
Yes,
I said, my face flat.
He tried to kidnap women. You say he's already kidnapped others from this village. If they're alive, I'll return them.
Her blue eyes studied me. Then she whirled and marched towards the advancing mob, her back straight. She looked gallant. Strong and impressive. A hero standing up to injustice. I found myself straightening my back. She inspired me.
Stop!
Halia shouted, shocked that she was even doing this.
What are you doing?
He's one of them, ain't he? Growled a farmer at the lead. A grizzled man named Shellen.
A dungeon builder. Were those his monster girls? Do you think he would have fought and killed them if they were his?
Halia demanded.
What are you doing? Do none of you have eyes? Did you not see us saving the girls?
Halia spotted one.
Melia, you saw him saving you.
Melia, her skirt still tied up to expose her knees, shrugged. She lurked on the edges of the mob.
I mean, yeah, I guess. But
he has monster girls with him.
Monster girls that saved the women of our village,
Halia said. She sheathed her sword.
Didn't they capture you?
Gasped a tanner named Vogel.
Yeah, yeah, Norso said he captured you. I thought he killed you.
Another said, a man with big ears. Halia didn't know him that well.
Do I look dead?
She asked.
That man just risked his life to fight against overwhelming odds. When he heard the attack, he came running.
She put her hand on her father's blade.
He returned my weapon to me and trusted me to do what was right. Then he's weak,
shouted Corlin. The farmer brandished a pitchfork.
Let's rush him. After he saved your daughter?
Demand Halia.
I saw Arlia escape. You would condemn her savior? What honor do you have? What honor does he have?
Corlin shot back.
He could have let them take the girls. He could have sent his own monster girls to attack this village. Instead, he fought to save it. For what?
Where are his forces to swoop in and attack us?
To overrun us and make demands. He's not here to despoil the daughters of our village. What about you?
Demanded Mayor Bevelin. He pushed forward, his gut straining the wool shirt he wore.
You were in his grasp.
Did he despoil you?
I remain a virgin,
she declared. You can have that bony hag you married, Mayor, inspect it and see. He held me prisoner, but only because he wanted to talk. To have peace. My party and I would not parley with him. The fact that Nasro told you I was captured is proof he released my companions. He came here to release me today when the attack happened. Upon the name of my father, Anguin, I swear that he is not an enemy to Astavin village.
So if you want to attack him, you must first cut down one of the daughters of this village.
Her words shocked her, but right was right. Actions proved Leo's intentions. He could be throwing spells at the mob, dispersing them. He had power. He could kill so many of them, and didn't dot an angry mutter came from the mob. They stared at her like she were a traitor to the village. But she stood firm in her convictions. She would not waver from them. She was Anguin's daughter. She would be as strong as him.
What will it be?
She demanded.
Huh, Dorvin? We played together as children.
Dorvin shifted, clutching a spear with a rusting point he must have dug out of his parents' attic.
Or how about you, Master Shorin? How many times did you have my mother and me over to dinner?
The owner of the dry goods store rubbed at the back of his neck. Old Vanel, your granddaughter and I were the best of friends. I stood at her side at her wedding last month.
Aye, you did. He muttered.
I vowed to protect this village like my father did. I vowed to fight the evil in this world and...
Leo is not evil.
He's planning on attacking the dungeon builder who sent those satyrs and oozes to harm you. He plans to retrieve the women stolen.
My Belia? Croaked Valalim.
Yes.
Halia stood proud before her village. We are going to save your girls. Or are you going to attack the only hope they have?
They shifted. Some looked down at their feet.
Halia understood their anger that drove them to attack. She could scarce believe that Leo was a dungeon builder herself. They all acted monstrously at some point, yet not him. Why? She wondered as the men of her village began shuffling away.
All save a few. Those whose daughters or sweethearts had been taken.
They stared at her with hope in their eyes. The need for salvation. Halia turned to Leo. He stood wet but strong, his lightning sprite standing on her own now and his succubus sister looking playful and naughty, completely unconcerned by anything going on and, is her hand squeezing his cock?
Halia thought in shock.
Is she trying to give him a hand job?
This isn't the time.
I muttered to my little sister. You can take your hand off my cock now.
You're no fun, big bro.
She said. We could have been fucking while she was doing her speech. So you think about nothing but sex? She giggled. You made me into a succubus, big bro. It's like you wanted to take the cute and adorable and innocent me and make me into your private slut. She pressed into me, rubbing her breasts into my sleeve. You just had to ask, big bro.
I would have done that.
I snorted. Looks like the mob's not killing us.
Said Lana Fullman.
My movie starlet was standing taller. She had taken a nasty blow, but she was recovering.
Good.
Then I sent out a thought. How's it coming, Svisos? We're on the way, Lord Leo.
My first will wisp answered.
Hela is in contact with Sisko, and we're getting updates.
Perfect.
I said.
Ooh, this telepathy is so cool.
Garnet sent. Big bro, I want to rip off your clothes and lick every bit of you before impaling my pussy down your cock and making you come in me so hard. I hope you breed me. I want your babies.
I glanced at my little sister and shook my head.
What? She asked, fluttering her crimson eyes at me.
You are incorrigible.
I said. Halia approached us. She gave us hard looks. You are going to help us, right? Her hand drifted to her sword. You will not make a liar out of me.
Never.
I said. Sisko is tracking the satyr back to her dungeon. See, that's why I fucked her and didn't kill her. Garnet said, hands on her hips. So you don't have to think I'm a flighty slut that saw a big dildo and got excited. That's exactly what I think. Halia said.
Yeah, me too.
Lana said. Garnet puffed out her cheeks.
No, it was a bold and devious plan on my part to get lots of orgasms and help us rescue those girls.
Her tail twitched back and forth. Do you think those girls will give me orgasms?
And you, big bro?
Halia stiffened.
Garnet, why do you think he took those girls?
I asked her, giving her a direct look.
He.
Oh. Her wings drooped. Then her face blazed with anger.
That bastard.
That sick, twisted bastard.
Ooh, I'm going to, too.
I don't know what, but he won't like it.
Not one bit.
That's disgusting. So we're going to return them to their families and not hit on them.
I told her.
I would never do that. Gasped Garnet. Halia gave her a hard look.
What?
My little sister asked with complete innocence. I seem to remember an amorous succubus trying to seduce me when I was a prisoner.
Halia said.
Garnet twisted around. I don't recall it that way at all. I seem to remember a beautiful and gorgeous adventurer that was tempting me into lesbian passion with her big boobs and gorgeous face and yummy pussy. I fought it though. Because I'm a good succubus.
Right, big bro?
Well, good is not the word.
I told her.
Playful? Bratty? Lana suggested. Garnet deflated.
Bratty?
Not adorable or cute or mischievous?
Bratty?
Bratty. The movie star said, smiling. But we love you anyway.
You do?
Garnet squealed in delight and then threw herself at me. She rained kisses over my face. Just hot smooches that made me want to do things with her. Things we didn't have time for right now that I pulled away from her.
Control yourself, little sister.
Right. She said. We got to save those girls.
Well?
Sisko, where are you?
Still following the river.
I'll let you know when she leaves it, Lord Leo. I glanced at the women and then said.
Shall we?
Shopping will have to wait until after we save the day. Chapter 27.
What makes you different?
Asked Halia as we followed the river south.
Different?
I asked, glancing at the warrior. Her big boobs jiggled in her metal bikini.
Yes.
From the other dungeon builders.
They all are evil.
Are they? I considered that. Fujin hadn't attacked me. He had come and introduced himself and asked some big questions. Like why were we brought here? I really didn't know.
Of course. It makes me wonder what being a dungeon builder does to a person.
We're not from this world. We come from a completely different place. A lot of us probably never had any real power. We're young men, barely with any responsibilities, and we're thrust into this place where we get magic. Sexy monster girls that want to fuck us.
and sexy succubus sisters,
Garnet added.
That goes under monster girls, I said, grinning at her. It's a rush. You're playing God when you build your dungeon. What does that do to a person? What did it do to you?
Halia asked out. I blinked.
It made me feel responsible. I was suddenly thrust with these monster girls to protect. Lana Fullman and my will-o'-wisps. Plus Selene, the heart of the void crystal. I had to protect her. I was barely even figuring things out when I was attacked by M'Thunzi. He battered through my defenses and reached my room. I had to fight for the first time. I won. Barely.
Yes, you dungeon builders are aggressive like that.
Look at you. You're about to attack one.
True.
I glanced down the trail. The one we're about to face has two elements. Water or life was his original. He killed another dungeon builder to advance. That's the thing, isn't it? The ones who are willing to be aggressive are the ones who gain power. How many dungeon builders were like me? Who didn't want to fight? Didn't want to do anything but exist and were killed. And what does that do to the ones who survive? Who don't want to die? It has to warp you. There's a part of me that will do anything to protect what I got. I swallowed. Part of me wonders if I'm doing this not to rescue those girls but to destroy a rival who could hurt me.
Halia stared at me for some time.
You do seem to want to help. You tried to capture me.
I felt bad.
I sighed. Adventurers died in my dungeon before your party. You all are just trying to protect your world, and here I am a threat to it.
Somehow.
I don't even really know how.
You devour mana. She said.
It's bad.
Why?
Halia opened her mouth and then frowned. I really don't know. They say it causes problems, but it's always vague. That's why we have to put you down. There are places in this world ruled by powerful dungeon builders. Men who have most if not all the runes. Who rule entire kingdoms. Places of fear where words hold sway. Like the tyrant who killed my father.
I sighed.
And that's the real thing. Power corrupts. How many sent here even consider the harm they're doing? What if they don't think this is real? It almost feels like a video game. Some base builder RPG or RTS game or something. ARTS? Video game? ARPG? What are these?
Things from my world.
Things Leo spent too much time playing, and not enough time showering me in attention.
Garnet said.
I'm just saying. What if they don't even think of this place as real? As this being anything more than a game? What does that do to your outlook? Your view on what you can or can't do in this world? It has to skew it. So no, I don't think dungeon builders are inherently evil. There's just a lot of pressures that select them towards doing bad things. It's why I have to make a stand, show people I'm different. I want to make something peaceful. I want people to be happy and live their lives and don't have to worry about oozes or satyrs or other monster girls raiding their villages.
Halia nodded.
She seemed convinced. I'll help you with this, Leo. You are not the man I thought you were. I smiled at her.
Thanks.
That actually means a lot.
He is a good man.
Lana said.
I know.
I spent my life in the cesspit that is Hollywood. I'm glad Leo brought me into this world.
Me too.
I'm my big bro's number one fan.
Garnet said.
It would be so boring without him. I'm still alive in the other world.
I pointed out.
Yeah, in a boring coma. She puffed out her cheeks. Here I get to make love to you. It's so wonderful.
She paused.
I wonder if I'm in a coma.
Am I?
Asked Lana Fullman. Did you hear any news about me? Maybe that you were back in rehab or something.
Garnet shrugged.
I really don't remember. That stuff is all super boring. I'm more a YouTuber girl. I love fancy Franny and Cheryls.
Who are they?
Lana asked.
I wondered the same thing.
They're makeup YouTubers. Her wings fluttered. Fancy Franny does the best makeup. She's got 15 million subscribers.
Jesus.
I gasped. And Cheryls is this fun gay guy who knows all the makeup tricks. He's sassy. Garnet snapped her fingers before her while whipping her arm back and forth.
And fierce.
He has 20 million. How do you not know who they are? I glanced at Lana. She shrugged.
What a strange world you come from.
Said Halia. What sort of nation is YouTuber to have so many people? Is Cheryls a king?
It's a long story.
I said.
And Lord Leo, we've left the stream.
Sisko reported.
I made markings.
It's by the willow with a funny face in the bark. We're heading west. It looks like towards some hills.
Thanks.
I said. We were getting closer. We found the willow with the face about 15 minutes later. Sisko left markings showing which way she went. We headed in that direction, moving down what looked like a simple trail. The woods rose around us. The terrain became more and more wooded.
This is the edge of Lord Shorvin's estate.
Said Halia, looking around.
We're heading for the Copperscale Hills.
Neat. Said Garnet. Why are they called that? It said a great dragon with copper scales died there, and then was buried. People dig up copper scales from time to time.
Big ones?
They use them to make shields. They're good at protecting from lightning. Lana Fullman shifted.
Great.
Do you think he's prepared for us? If he even knows about us. Pointed out Garnet. I nodded. Not all our powers are lightning. I have dark magic too. We kept going down the trail. Sisko kept leaving marks to let us know we were still following her. She would scratch arrows into tree bark or overturned rocks, leaving the ground freshly disturbed. We followed her trail further and further towards the hills.
About 20 minutes in that direction, the brush rustled. We all tensed, and then Sviso's popped out. My will-o'-wisp had a big grin on her face, her boobs jiggling. The various hues of blue swirled like vapor through her flesh. Lord Leo. She squealed and hugged me, planting a big kiss on my mouth. She wasn't alone. She had Zyba's, Hela, and CI with her. I left the rest of the monster girls with Yusuku to guard the void crystal. Mthunzi had only brought his companion and lost. I didn't want to take that chance that I would bring a few of my monster girls and hope I wasn't dooming us all. Halia glanced at me in shock. You weakened your defenses. Let's hope no one realizes that. I said. Come on, let's go. We have a villain to overthrow. This story is continued in the next part. You have been listening to this podcast on the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. To support the free Erotica podcasts, visit our Patreon link. This will allow us to continue providing free content as well as it gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choosing. Links for everything are in the podcast description.